I've been thinking and meditating and praying continually about our theme. And I wonder if you asked a fish to describe the water around it, what would the fish say? What water? Does it feel wet to a fish? I mean, think about that for a minute. So here we are as Bible-believing Christians focusing on a theme where I feel like a fish in the water. And in a way, it's somewhat difficult. I'm not going to say it's impossible. But hopefully and prayerfully, everything we do and say and think revolves around God's Word. Because He has magnified His Word above all His name. So that's our theme. That's where we're going. I hesitate to go in Mark 7 because according to my Bible reading, I should be in Matthew 15. And I was. But Matthew 15 drove me here. So we'll go here. We could go back to Matthew 15, which is the same exact story and told from Matthew's perspective. Mark 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. You already know that's not good news, right? I mean, so you basically have a group of people that were upset would be a minor term, that were completely 180 degrees opposed to, opposite to, resistant to Christ. Kind of like our present day situation. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Could we pause for a moment? Have you ever gotten in an argument with somebody about sanitation? I'm not talking about the trucks that come by and pick up your stuff. I'm not talking about garbage removal. I'm talking about general hygiene. There are all kinds of research and we might call conveniently ignorant ways of doing things, right? And obviously, there are better ways and there are worse ways. There are ways that guys might do it if they're hunting and they're out in a cabin and they might be fishing and they might not have sanitizer with them. You get the idea. Okay. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, you know this is not going well. Why walk not thy disciples? So they're talking about their lifestyle, their conversation, how Paul would translate our walk with God, our conversation. They walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands. Now you would wonder, you would think, again, here's a group of people with way too much time on their hands. Right? Way too much time on their hands. He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. Esaias is a New Testament way of saying Isaiah. So he's going to quote Isaiah 29:13. He called them hypocrites. That's not a good way of having a dialogue and a conversation. But Jesus called them out and said, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, could I pause, and I'm not trying to preach through the entire chapter, but let me take a moment at least to, if I could give you an observation that I've made over 35 years of being a Christian, could I say this? Image is not everything. Let me just say another thing. If you're trying to keep an image, a Christian image, I have to say you're not right with God. Could I say that? Because being an image bearer is idolatry. Isn't that right? So, and I've known and you've known and probably you've seen it in my life, where instead of us being transparent and humble, we're trying to portray this image. Now, if we had any worth or any value, the gospel wouldn't be necessary, would it? Would the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ be necessary if we were righteous? If there was anything about us worthy, would the cross be necessary? No, the cross wouldn't be necessary. So now that we're Christians, how in the world can we pretend to be more than we are in light of Calvary? Calvary hasn't gone away. Calvary is there for us every moment we need it. That's what 1 John 1:9 reminds us of. We can go to Christ at any moment for forgiveness. So therefore, image, even though it's part of our makeup, God's not about that, is he? No, he's not. He calls these religious leaders hypocrites. And trust me, our kids will do the same. Because they can see what we can't. The hypocrisy. Verse 7. Now that's not bad enough. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. So if our heart is far from God, and we honor God with our lips, but not with our heart, our worship is vain, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So therefore, basically what we're doing is we're talking about human wisdom overriding and supplanting the commandments of the Lord. Verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold, embrace the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. We're busy about the wrong things. We've prioritized the wrong things. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep what? Your own tradition. The title of my message tonight is Making the Word of God Obsolete. Making the Word of God Obsolete. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and ask that you would remind us by the Spirit of God and the Word of God to reveal to us how prevalent, how pervasive, and how perverse this tendency is. It was seen in these religious leaders who really had no affection for and no respect for this carpenter who was invading their power structure, their territory. And Lord, I sense that we can be sucked in and deceived as well. For those that couldn't be here tonight, I pray you'd be with them, watch over them in a special way, and guide the rest of our service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be benefited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. That's the bottom line, isn't it? Making the word of God of none effect by your tradition, which ye have delivered. Now there's no period. And many such thing like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him. Now, he's basically talking about the digestive system. He's not talking about all the other gates that we have, our senses. What we hear can defile us. What we see can defile us. And so on and so on. Okay? This is regarding simple digestive things, because he's referring to washing of hands and sanitation and these rituals that they have. So he's basically nailing them on this particular area. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it abideth not into his heart, but into the belly? All right, we have antibacterial things. We've got things going on in our system that usually takes care of us. We have an immune system and so on and so forth. But we're not talking about a spiritual defilement here. We're basically talking about sanitation. It goes into the belly, doesn't go into the heart, and goeth out into the draft, purging all the meats, or the toilet. I mean, seriously, guys. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. You could also use the word hate there. Thefts, covetousness. I love that covetousness is put there, don't you? Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man, making the word of God obsolete. So let's look at that word, tradition, making the word of God obsolete by your tradition or traditions. How about you give me some contemporary words that might apply to this context. You make the word of God of none effect by your tradition. Practices. Okay, that's good. By your practices. Somebody else. By your tradition. Habits. Yep. Habits. That's a big word. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Religiosity. Whoa. All right. We know what that means. Somebody else. By their traditions. I'm not asking you to give me the Greek equivalent. I'm just asking you to give me an everyday synonym for the word. Customs. Very good. We're painting a picture. And our paint are words. Tradition. Beliefs. Good, Jay. Beliefs. Now think of the context. Think of what Jesus is talking to these men about. The thing that's hindering them from seeing who Christ is, believing what he's saying, submitting or surrendering themselves to the Word of God, there are things that are blocking this. And this particular passage of Scripture is making it clear that the Word of God is becoming obsolete because of fill in the blank. Preconceived ideas. Good. Preconceived ideas. Peer pressure. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Edie? Absolutely. Culture. She can't speak for herself? I see. Must be fearful. Somebody else? Dave? Addictions. By their traditions. They're addicted to it. Right? Anybody else want to jump in, chime in? Set in their ways. Okay. Set, that's an in. Set in their ways. Say again. Yep. Because if you talk about tradition, you're talking about heritage. This is the way we've always done it. What's another word for that? It's a little bit different. Way we've always done it is a little bit more collective. I'll do it my way is a little bit more rebellious, independent. Fears. Traditions are fears. Might result in that. Dan? Traditions could be idols. Yep. These are the ones I came up with. Cindy?
Our security.
That's true. Our traditions become our security. Didn't think of that. John? Things designed by man. designed by man. Yes. They're not really man created. They're man centered. Legalism. Traditions foster legalism. I had habits, way of doing things, ways of acting, policies. What an individual is comfortable with, security. Protocol, culture, customs, heritage. Who can spell the word precedent? He is. Characteristic manner, method or style. Institution, legend, myth, practice, ritual. Do we have ritual up there? Convention, unwritten law. Unwritten law. Now, we could spend a lot of time, and commentators have, and they've done a lot of research looking at this context. The context being, we have an unwritten law. We have the law given to Moses and the unwritten law that the Jews created, and many such things. That's what's implied in the context of the story. So we have 619 ceremonial laws, or the Mosaic law, that are found in the scriptures. And then we have the Talmud, and we have all of these other writings that the Jews adhere to that they've passed along by tradition. By unwritten, but written, uninspired, but man-generated laws and traditions and so forth. So in this context, Jesus is calling them out on it, making the Word of God obsolete because of their tradition. Turn with me to Galatians 1:14. Galatians 1:14. Cambridge Bible for schools and colleges. The Jews distinguish between the written law and the traditional or unwritten law. The unwritten law was said to have been orally delivered by God to Moses and by him orally transmitted to the elders. On it was the founding of the Talmud or doctrine, which consists of the Mishnah or repetition of the law, the Gemara or supplement to it. So extravagant did the veneration for the traditional law become that there was amongst many other sayings this assertion, the law is like salt, the Mishnah like pepper, and the Gemara like balmy spice. Galatians 1:14 says, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, this is Paul giving his testimony, in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of what? The traditions of my fathers. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, if you turn there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware. That is not like a road sign. When God says beware, it's more than construction ahead. All right. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So we can be spoiled, we can be ruined, destroyed by the tradition of men. The philosophy of men, the rudiments of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, as you're turning there. Matthew Henry, his concise commentary on this particular context. One great design of Christ's coming was to set aside the ceremonial law and to make way for this. He rejects the ceremonies men added to the law of God's making. Those clean hands and that pure heart which Christ bestows on his disciples and requires of them are very different from the outward and superstitious forms of the Pharisees of every age. Jesus reproves them for rejecting the commandment of God. It is clear that it is the duty of children, if their parents are poor, to relieve them as far as they are able. And if children deserve to die that curse their parents, much more those that starve them. But if a man conformed to the traditions of the Pharisees, they found a device to free him from the claim of this duty. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. We are in a dangerous place nationally, biblically, scripturally, because it's almost like certain things that have been legal precedent have been implied that there's no, that there's no way we can go back and revisit those. Because the precedent has already been set, i.e. Roe v. Wade. The precedent's already been set. It's already been law for so long. How could we ever go back? What do you mean, ever go back? It's like we're talking about 300 years ago. We're not talking about that. This says there's tradition of your fathers. So Christianity is not about the tradition of our fathers. It's about the water surrounding the fish. It's about the Word of God, which permeates every aspect of our life. Therefore, we can essentially make the Word of God obsolete. By those things. We can cancel, neutralize, counterbalance, counteract, delete, erase, obliterate the Word of God by our tradition. Romans chapter 9, verse 6, if you turn there. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Is that true of us? That the word of God has no effect on us? Jesus said to these scribes, he also repeated this and clarified it with his disciples by saying, the word of God has made none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. First Corinthians chapter 1, 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. How? Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made, what? Of none effect. Now that we were interrupted, why don't we just look at that again? Karen, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the devil. Because probably there's not a more important thing that I've said all evening than that phrase right there. 1 Corinthians 1:17. It says that the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. How can the cross of Christ be made of none effect? Anybody? How does the cross of Christ become ineffective? This is a simple question. A kid in Christian school could get this. By those, true, but there's a whole nother category that we haven't addressed yet. Rejecting the cross is a demonstration of a hard attitude of yes and unbelief. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can make the word of God of none effect, not only by our tradition, but by our unbelief. Right? And we can make the gospel that saved us obsolete and ineffective when we take the tradition instead of the word. The fish doesn't say, oh, give me air instead. That would be deadly, wouldn't it? That would be counterproductive. So would the Christian say, oh, give me the world? No, that would be counterproductive. That would be deadly, destructive, wouldn't it? Sure. Mark 7, verse 8. And many such like things do ye. Mark 7, 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, the word of God, we're going to lay it aside. That's not that important. What's more important? Women's health. So therefore, we're going to kill the baby up to the day of delivery. Really? The tradition of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. Wow. I wasn't at the Washington Mall, neither were you. But that kid's face is now implanted all over the world. And if you don't watch the 2-hour video, you don't know what happened. Right? But from a Christian perspective, I see a young man who probably hasn't had this kind of conflict in his life often. Certainly not this national exposure. And he's just being a teenager with a group, waiting for a bus. You would ask Jack Phillips, who's a Christian baker in Colorado, do you feel like you've been selected? Now his family says yes. He says no. His family knows him and knows his Christian testimony and essentially says if there was any Christian baker that could have been zeroed in on, he's the man. Because he will represent God as God would have him represent God. A grandma florist in the Great Northwest.
Did she expect this?
No. 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 A firefighter in Atlanta, Georgia.
Did he expect this?
No. And the list goes on. But here's this young kid who's just, in a way, I don't want to say tolerating, but he's certainly not violent. He's standing, isn't he? Like Ephesians says, he's standing. He's not going one way or the other. He's not saying anything. But of course, that infuriates people. We live in a strange time. And if that's more important than what's in your lap, trust me, they'll call you a hypocrite. They are dying for genuine reality. They don't know where to find it. They're constantly testing and testing and testing to find what is true and what is good and what is beautiful. But in their world context, none of that holds true. If you're a pure secularist, what is good? If you're a pure secularist, what is beautiful? And if you're a pure secularist, what is true? Isn't that what they're looking for? They're testing. And they're so angry. They're so furious spiritually that they're attacking and attacking and attacking. And if you stand there and just stand there, oh, that'll make them mad. But hopefully it'll draw them to the cross. Let us not be as Jesus was accusing these religious phonies because they were more concerned with image than transparency. Remember, the context is our heart, because out of the heart will come eventually the truth. So you can put on the dog, you can put on the image, and you could fool the church. But you're not going to fool your kids. You can fool the preacher, but you're not going to fool God. And eventually, and I know this to be true, the price you pay for transparency now far outweighs the problems you'll have later by pretending. The pain that you endure now, being genuine, Manny, is worth it. It's worth it. Your peers are looking for something that's worth it. Because everything else is Disneyland. It's all Tinseltown. It's all stuff. None of it's real. It's all fake. I'm looking for somebody who believes in something, willing to pay a price for something. Let's pray. Making the Word of God obsolete. Lord, I pray that's not our fault. Lord, we're not perfect for sure. But how I pray we'd embrace the Word of God, that it would reveal to us, as Psalm 139 says, search me, O God. Again, another divine interrupter. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to work inside, Lord, to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God have their will and their way in our lives. Help us to ask you to reveal hidden things. Things that we might not see. Not necessarily willingly being deceptive. But maybe blind unto our own faults. Lord, in this hour, in this day, you're looking for disciples. You're looking for followers of Christ. And the only way to be that is if we cling to and believe and live the Word of God. Thank you again for this reminder, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Precedent. Every time I tried to write precedent, it corrected me to president. It was so frustrating. Are you frustrated with a checker on your phone and your computer? It drives me crazy.